This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Over the weekend, thousands of hackers, journalists, lawyers, researchers, and computer security professionals descended on Las Vegas for DEF CON, the world's longest-running and largest hacking conference. It's gotten to be a very big event, with panels, partying, and even some live hacking-themed hip-hop. Hack all
the things! You know there's going to be security, right?
First we drink all the booze, then hack all the things, then backdoor the firmware on anything you bring, regardless of the hardware, service, or encoding.
It's been going on for a long time. The first DEF CON was held in June of 1993, but things have changed since then. Election security is front of mind after the 2016 election, and new warnings from U.S. intelligence officials that Russian actors are attempting to disrupt the midterms, too.
I'm very concerned for our upcoming election because this voting machine is used in 18 different states, and it's extremely easy to get admin access on this machine. So let me show you how quick it is.
That's Rachel Toback, the CEO of a cybersecurity company called Social Proof Security. And in this video she posted to Twitter, Toback is standing before a big rectangular voting machine.
And now I have full admin access, under 2 minutes.
2 minutes to potentially undermine our country's democratic system without much more than a ballpoint pen. And it kind of makes you question the security of your vote, right? Election and state government officials rejected the public show. A statement by the National Association of Secretaries of State asserts that DEF CON utilizes a pseudo-environment which in no way replicates state election systems, networks, or physical security. We will put that claim to Colorado's Secretary of State Wayne Williams in just a minute. But first, I'm turning to David Kennedy, and he's a former hacker for the National Security Agency and the Marine Corps. And David also served as the chief security officer for Diebold, which manufactured voting equipment. And today, he's the CEO of Trusted Sec, an IT security consulting company. David, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
So we've heard that it seems pretty easy to physically hack into voting machines. We've seen reporting that says that in about 18 states that's happened. How concerned should we be about the security of our systems based on this? What does this tell us?
Well, it is alarming, especially what we saw in the 2016 election cycle with Russia. Russia had a very big interest in how we conducted our election process. It doesn't mean that they were able to change any votes. There's been no evidence of that. What's actually going for us is that all of the states run their own type of equipment, have their own types of processes, and it's actually very complex in each individual state. So to do a sheer mass hacking campaign against the entire country would be really difficult. But if they start focusing on things like swing states and other locations that may have a major impact, those are things that Russia categorically looks at from an intelligence perspective and says, hey, is it possible for us to possibly change the election? Is that something that we want to do? And these systems, even if you look at Georgia, for example, Georgia is actually using the old Diebold AccuVote TSX systems primarily as their main voting machines that haven't been updated since 2009. They're very ancient, out of date. They don't have a lot of security features built into them. And these are things that are definitely very concerning from a security perspective and things that we should be extremely concerned about going forward into different elections. One thing I can say, though, is that the government is trying to, both at a state and federal level, trying to protect these systems. And so there's a lot of proactive features going on to try to combat these in the future.
So you mentioned Russia, and I just want to go back for a second. Last year, there was a classified National Security Agency report that was leaked to a news organization called The Intercept about or regarding the Russian hacking of the 2016 elections. It did say that Russian military intelligence attempted to hack a voting software company. Do we know anything else about the specifics of what they did?
I don't think the intention was to actually change voter count in one way or the other. But it doesn't mean that Russia wasn't interested in being able for the ability to change votes or whatnot. It's just that they didn't have the capabilities at the time of doing it. These are all things that the government's really taking into concern right now and trying to work with. But it's something that we don't really have a good game plan for because these states are typically well understaffed when it comes to what they have to do for security. So it's something that in the security industry we were very concerned with and what was actually represented at DEF CON, which is a big hacker conference. conference in Las Vegas, where they actually had a voting machine hacking camp where people can come in and actually try to attempt to hack older systems that they're able to get their hands on. It's definitely something that we need to be concerned with. We need to continue to raise awareness around this and hold our representatives very accountable for these types of things. I mean, democracy is obviously very important to us. If we can't trust our voting process, and especially with electronic voting, that's a major problem.
Also, I want to sort of talk a little bit about the tension that you're raising here between, I mean, we know that there isn't a national organization or agency that is set up to guarantee election safety because all of this is done on a state-by-state level. But the bigger question is, if we end up with some federal sort of oversight on this or using, as you mentioned, similar technologies across different states, would that then open us up? Would that make us more vulnerable?
I think the whack-a-mole system right now is actually helping us because it's so decentralized and every state does something completely different. And what we're seeing now with the federal government and the state level is they have a very difficult time understanding security and building security into their overall infrastructure. And that's a major concern. So if you centralize it, it would have to be a governing body that focuses on the safety, security, and the integrity of those voting machine systems, and that there's enhanced logging so they can see if there's tampering on those devices. There's enhanced controls to detect intrusions as it's occurring. It would be a massive undertaking. And I believe it's something that should actually happen. There should be a central governing body that focuses on the standards and accreditation of these systems state by state to ensure consistency across the board. But until that's up and running, it's actually playing in our favor a little bit to have a decentralized model. But that's only going to last so long. With 2016 and the emphasis of Russia, you have nation states that have hundreds and billions of dollars to focus on these types of campaigns. Now, we should be really alarmed about that. And if they're going to be upticking it in this 2018 election and in 2020, that's going to be a major problem for us. And the decentralized model may not help us in this case.
Now, how do we go about putting in some measures here? I mean, I've seen everything from people suggesting we return to paper ballots in certain areas. I mean, is that really realistic? What are we looking like in terms of our security heading into the 2018 midterms?
I'm actually a huge fan of paper ballots. The amount of fraud that occurs on the paper ballots are substantially lower than a potential for a hacker to come in and actually go and hack those systems. Now, is that feasible? It requires more manpower, requires more people. It would probably require more funding. But we did use that prior to the 2016 election. So it's definitely doable and possible. I don't know if electronic voting is the right method right now until we can get our hands around the protections that we can put in place to ensure that votes can't be changed. And again, I want to emphasize that these systems are very isolated and segmented, so it would take a lot for it to happen. But still, that possibility of it occurring is something that we should all be concerned with and something that we should consider alternatives to until we have a good, reasonable level of assurance that it can't happen.
David Kennedy is a former hacker for the NSA and the Marine Corps. David, thanks for the information.
Thank you.
Not every state feels unprepared for the midterm elections. Colorado was among the 21 states targeted as part of the Russian interference campaign in 2016. And since then, they've done more than perhaps any other state to safeguard against election hacking. Wayne Williams is the Secretary of State for Colorado, serving since 2015. Secretary Williams, will Colorado be the safest state to cast a vote this November?
Dan Zeta, thanks for having me on. Yes, we will be.
All right.
And beginning when I took office in 2015, we actually began to establish a series of protocols. I adopted new voting system standards, so every vote cast in Colorado is cast on a paper ballot. We have then even gone further and established the nation's first risk-limiting audit, where we actually compare how the machine interpreted a vote with the actual paper ballot for that cast vote record. And so I can tell you that nobody in Moscow, Beijing, or anywhere else hacked a single vote in the state of Colorado.
All right. Well, that's pretty reassuring. Now, I want to go back a second to, we sort of led the beginning of the show today with this DEFCON conference where there was apparently some voting systems that were hacked into in less than 2 minutes. Do you worry about that? I mean, I know you said you guys are using paper ballots, but ultimately we're all headed in this direction of electronic voting. Do you worry that the systems are that easily hacked?
So I am concerned about any system that does not have a paper record, something and that the voter can themselves verify and ensure that the machine correctly interpreted their vote. In Colorado, we established that. So we had moved where we had some places where there was not an actual paper ballot. We did have a paper record, but not the actual ballot. I shifted to actually having the paper ballot. So I don't think we are moving towards an all-electronic system, and I'd be very wary of standards that did that. The other thing I'd note is, you know, where you see someone given access, or as I listened to the music opening, talking about everything connected to the internet, well, in Colorado and in almost every other state, voting machines are not connected to the internet. That's an important safety precaution. You actually have to be physically present at the polling place or at the central count center in order to change anything in the machine. And that's important. We have security protocols for that. We have video surveillance. We have a host of processes there where we don't let someone, even the 2 minutes that the hacker referred to, we don't give them 2 minutes of access to a machine. We don't let you come in and play with it. We have security protocols in place. But above and beyond that, that paper ballot with the risk-limiting audit provides that assurance that nothing did happen.
Well, and we know that each state has its own election mechanics and systems in place. But at the federal level, earlier this summer, Congress failed to pass a bill that would have provided $250 million in grants to states for new technology to guard against these types of cyber attacks. Do you think that there needs to be a bigger sense of urgency at the federal level at this point, given the concerns about hacking in other states in particular?
Actually, earlier this year, Congress did finish funding the Help America Vote Act and so provided millions of dollars to states for funding. There was then a more a political ploy than an actual attempt to fund that took place because Secretaries of State weren't even consulted about the potential legislation someone threw out on the floor. I think the organized way that the federal government has assisted has been helpful. And I'd note that the Department of Homeland Security has played a key role. They have had many different programs. So we've had representatives, hackers from them, in our office on two separate occasions reviewing our systems, making sure everything's correct. You mentioned, by the way, the Russians attempting to infiltrate voting registration systems. There were 21 states at least where that occurred. That's not the same as the tabulation system. Voter registration systems are connected to the internet because you can register to vote online. Colorado established two-factor authentication a number of years ago, so even if you have a password, you can't change that voter registration system without the second factor. It's one of the other security precautions that states need to adopt, and many are across the country.
Well, and as you mentioned, I mean, there's a difference between accessing the actual tallies and then accessing the systems that allow people to register to vote. But we should reiterate, just to be clear, that there was no evidence that the votes were altered in 2016. The impact, however, on constituents and on Americans, psychologically at the very least, seems to have been pretty intense. We're looking also at, you know, we've heard a lot from our callers who say they don't believe their vote is secure, obviously with these claims about fake news and voter fraud and coming from the administration. How do you restore the trust that American people can have in this democracy?
Tanzina, that's actually the key point. You have to have processes in place that people can have confidence in. That's why we shifted to a voter verifiable paper ballot. It's why we established a risk limiting audit where we can guarantee you that nobody changed a single vote in Colorado. And you ultimately have to have that voter confidence. That's what our democratic republic's based on. You have to have people who believe that their vote counts so they will take the time to vote. It's one of the reasons why Colorado has the highest voter participation in America.
Wayne Williams is the Secretary of State for Colorado, serving since 2015. Wayne, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tanzina.